Today's shiur, Masechet Bechayis, Daf Chav Ches. We will begin on Daf Chav Zayin on the base, 8 lines from the bottom. In our previous shiur, the Gemara had quoted the pasuk, "Fnei Hashem Lakecha, Techlena, Shana B'Shana B'Makom Ashivcha Hashem, Alakech Hashem Ata Uveisecha." The Gemara taught us that pasuk teaches us that when we count the year for Bechor, that we should bring it as a carbon if it's healthy within a year, or that if it's a balmum, it should be eaten within a year. We learn it from the word shana b'shana. It says Al Gemara, the Bei Rav Tana, however, in the Yeshiva of Rav, they use the pasuk of shana b'shana to teach us a different halacha. Shana b'shana, to teach us, yom echad b'shana zu, yom echad b'shana zu. Since the Torah uses the word shana b'shana, we're speaking about 2 years. We know that different kabbonis have different amount of time by which they may be eaten. Says the Bei Rav, since the Torah is teaching us regarding the Bechor, Shana B'Shana, it can be eaten within 2 years, that is a raya that the Bechor can be nechle shnei yom v'layla echad. And the way we would therefore understand the pasuk is that it was eaten one day within this year, and one day in the next year. And that's how we learn a Bechor is Nechel Shnei Yomim V'Layla Echad. The Mefarshim ask, how is this pasuk a proof to that rule? Because even if the halach will be that a Bechor is only Nechel L'Yoyim V'Layla, one day and one night, we still could have a situation where it's Nechel Shana B'Shana, where it's eaten within 2 years. Because let's say today is the last day of the year, and we know that in the Jewish system, the day follows the night. So today is the day that I'm eating it, and tonight is already next year, because the new year begins at night. So it's only going to be eaten l'yoyim v'layla, day and night, and yet we have fulfilled shana b'shana, that it's being eaten within 2 years. So Mefarshim answer that even though, as we just said, that normally in our system, the halacha is the day follows the night. However, by kachshim, which is what we're discussing here, the halacha is laila hoylech achayoyim. The night follows the day. And therefore, just because you could eat it that night doesn't really mean it's the next year. Another pshat that I saw that Chorayim suggests is that the halacha is that although the new year begins at night, it is not declared, Besdin is not mekadosh the year only by day. So if today is the last day of the year, and today we're eating the Bechor, tonight we have no way of knowing if it's a new year or not, because it will not be declared a new year until tomorrow. And therefore, it has to be, if the Torah says the Bei Rav, that's Nechel, Shana B'Shana, that's a proof that's Nechel, B'Shnei Yomim, V'Laylo Echad. The Avni Nezer and the Migdash Tovit say, but haven't we learned already in the Mishnah, and we're going to discuss this halacha further in today's Shir Mitzah Hashem, that the halacha is that the carbon has to be slaughtered within 1 year. So how can we have a din that has to be slaughtered within the 1 year, and yet Nechel, L'shnei yom v'layla echad into the next year? So they say from here we see there are two separate rules. There's one rule regarding the shechita, and indeed the halacha is that the shechita must be done within that year. Then there's another halacha within the first year of the animal. Then there's another halacha, and that's the halacha of achila. The din of achila and the din of shechita do not necessarily travel together. And as far as achil is concerned, the achil could go into the next year. After the Gemara, Udo Rav, who yesterday taught us, according to the Bei Rav, asked the Gemara, that yesterday we used this pasuk of Shana B'Shana to teach us that we could go, that we count the year from when it's born. Asked the Gemara, where will they know this halacha by the Chor, that we count it from when it's born? Answered the Gemara, Yafi Mekotchen. They learn it from all other Kabbonis, that by all other Kabbonis, the halacha is, we count the year from when it's born. and ask the Gemara, the Kachin Gufayim Noa, and how do we know that is indeed the halacha by all Kabbonis, that we count the year? In other words, many times the Torah says that we have to bring an animal within its first year as a carbon. How do we know that we count the year from its birthday? Answers the Gemara, Amar of Akaba Yaakov, Amar Kro, the Torah, when it speaks about the animal, for example, being within its first year to be kosher as a carbon, uses the words Keves ben Shnasai, Shnasai Shaloi, we count it according to its year, for Loi Shana Shaminyan Oilam, not the calendar year. The Rav asked the Gemara, Rav, who in the previous year used the pasuk of Shana B'Shana that to teach us that we count the year from when the animal was born, asked the Gemara, Nechlishna Yom V'Layla Echa B'Nalei, so he doesn't have the word Shana B'Shana available to teach us this halacha that we began our shiur with today, that the Bechor is Nechel, the Shnei Yom V'Layla Echa, so from where will he know that then? Answers the Gemara, Nafgalei, because the pasuk says, regarding the Bechor, Ubasaram Yilcha Khazei Hatnufa Ukishai Kayomin. The Kisha Kosov, the Torah is comparing the Bechor, Lechazav Shait Shlomin, to the Chazav Shlok of the Karban Shlomin. And just like by the Karban Shlomin, the halach is, Ma'ala Halam Shnei Yom V'Layla Echad, the Karban is eaten for 2 days and one night. Afkan, so too should be the halacha by the Bechor, that's Shnei Yomim V'Layla Echad. Vidach, ask the Gemara, and why doesn't the Beirav use this pasuk, this hekish, indeed to teach us this din that the Bechor is Nechel Shnei Yom V'Layla Echad? Answers the Gemara, Imi Hasam, if we would have only that pasuk, if we only would rely on that, Iklameima Chaz V'Shayt Shaltayda, why are we saying that we speak about the carbon shlom? Why should we compare the Bechor to Karban Shlomim? We should compare it preferably to a Taida, where the halacha by Karban Taida is that it's Nechel L'Yoyim V'Layla. And the way Rashi explains the Gemara is because we have a rule throughout Shas to fast the Mu'at to fasta, to fast the Merubah L'Yoyim to fasta. It's better to choose the minimum, and therefore we're going to compare, we should preferably compare the Bechor to Karban Taida versus comparing it to Karban Shlomim. Taisus takes a different approach with the same result. The Taisus says, since we're learning from a Hekish, we always have a rule that we're Makish preferably L'Chumra versus being Makish L'Kula. The Mefarshim go on to explain that it seems very clear in our Gemara that the only two options that we have from where to learn the Bechor are either from Taida or from Shlomim. But they ask, why don't we learn the Halacha Bechor from Karban Chatos and Karban Asham, that by those Kabbonis as well, the Halacha is that they're only Nechal L'Yoyim V'Layla. So Mefarshim answer that those Kabbonis are certainly different than Bechor. Because the Halacha is the Bechor and the Shlomim and the Taida not only made a kohanim eat, but they could feed it to their entire family. Whereas a chatas for Asham, they cannot feed to their entire family. So certainly the Gemara never considered comparing the Bechor to chatas for Asham. What is the Gemara's question? Should we compare it to Bechor or compare it to Shlomim? Vidach. So the other Madama that says that we're learning from the Hekish, why indeed is he comparing it to Shlomim rather than comparing it to Karban Taida? Answers the Gemara, Amakra, L'cha Yia, the Torah adds the word L'cha, Hoyslach HaKosov Havaya Cheres HaBechor, the Torah is teaching us an extra period, there's an extra day of the Bechor that it could be eaten. And therefore, that extra L'cha Yia comes to teach us that we could eat L'shnei Yom V'Lai Lecha. So Mefarshim asks, and this way Rashi explains the Gemara, so Farshim asked, if what the Torah is accomplishing by adding the words L'cha Yia is to add us a whole new period, so maybe asked the Farshim that L'cha ought to be that the Bechor could be eaten for Shnei Yomim, for Shnei Leilois. That's what the Pasuk of L'cha Yia accomplishes. So I saw a very nice teretz. The Mefarshim say that what the Gemara means to say is that indeed we're starting here with a dilemma. What should we compare the Bechor to? Should we compare the Bechor to Toida, or should we compare the Bechor to a Shlomim? Says the Gemara that by the Torah using the words L'chayiyah, what the Torah is teaching us is by adding those words L'chayiyah, is that we should preferably compare it to a carbon Shlomim than to a carbon Toida. And since by Shlomim the halacha is it's nechel shnei yomim v'layla echad, so too here. Another pshat that they suggest is that the Torah is saying l'chayiyah, the Torah is teaching us there are two periods that may be eaten. Now the actual day when the kohen eats the bechor, where the kohen, the actual day where the kohen, where the bechor is offered, it may not be eaten. Practically it may come after you'll never eat it, because they maybe don't bring the bechor until the end of the day. So what the Torah is trying to tell us is there are going to be two time periods that you'll certainly be allowed to eat it tonight and tomorrow, which will give you a total of Shnei Yom V'Layla Echad. Vidach and other Mandama. So now we have a very strong proof from this pasuk that the Shlomim is Nechel Shnei Yom V'Layla Echad. Why does he need Shana B'Shana? Answers the Gemara. Imi Hasan, if I only had that pasuk, what does the word l'chayiyah come to teach us? Limar al b'chor ba'mum. It comes to teach us that the b'chor that's ba'mum, even though it can't be obviously offered as a carbon, shenitma l'kayin, shenayitma l'kayin, you give it to the kayin, shlametzin b'chor atar kula. So the way Rashi explains shlametzin b'chor atar kula means that we never have a precedent, we don't have any other pasuk to teach us that the b'chor ba'mum is given to the kayin. Only this pasuk is what teaches us that halacha. Tosfos takes issue with Rashi's pshat, because Tosfos says every time you have a drasha in the Torah, you can make that argument that until the Gemara, the Braisa, teaches us the drasha, Shloim Etzina B'Kala Torah Kula, we don't know the drasha. So why does the Gemara specifically use that wording over here? And because of that question, Tosfos has a different explanation. Tosfos says that Shlomitzin L'Bechala Torah Kula means that we know, as we have learned, and will Amit Hashem learn, that Loch is a P'sula Hamadoshim, that if a carbon becomes disqualified, it should be sold, it should be redeemed, and a new animal should be bought. A carbon, a Bechar, is an exception to our rule, where Loch is that when the animal is a Bamum, the actual animal is given to the Bechar, to the Kayin. And that's what the Gemara means here with those words, Shlomitzinim Lebechol HaTorah Kula, this very unique rule. And as the Brisker Rav, in fact, expands on Tosfos, the Brisker Rav says there are actually two halachas by a Bechor. There's a din of a Bechor that's not a Bamum, that Bechor is a carbon, and there's a din of a Bechor Bamum, that Bechor must be given to the Kohen. Vidach Amar, and the other man Amar, where would he know this halacha, that he's using this pasuk to be makish and to teach us that a bechor is nechel shnei yom v'layla echad? How will he know this halacha of a bechor ba'mum? Answer the Gemara, he learns it from the word besarum. The word besarum is lashon rabim, to teach us echad tam v'echad ba'mum, that this halacha applies by tam ba'mum. Lidot and the other man d'amar says that the word besarum is not here to teach us any specific halacha, rather the way to interpret the word besarum, the hani bechor is the kol Yisrael kama, the Torah is speaking to all the Yisraelim who have Bechor. We learned at the end of the Mishnah on that Chav Vav Amud Beis. The Mishnah said, "Nailam mum b'toych shnasai." If a mum was developed in this Bechor in the first year, "Rishay l'kaimish kolash n'schaydish," it may be held for 12 months. And then the Mishnah continued with words that, as we learned the Mishnah, we weren't quite sure how to understand those words. "En rishay l'kaimah el shloshim yoyim." So now the Gemara focuses on how to understand those words. The Bailu. Hey, come on. How are we to understand what the Mishnah means? Are we to understand that the Mishnah means that if a mum develops within the first year, you could keep it for 12 months, and now the Torah is giving us a special dispensation that could wait another 30, the Chazal teaching us, we could wait another 30 days past a Duma, or maybe a way to understand the Mishnah as follows. If the mum develops within the animal's first year, you could hold on to the animal for 12 months and no more. But if the mum develops after the first year, there, since it's already past its first year, there Chazal said you could only hold on to it for 30 days. So how do we understand the Mishnah? Says the Gemara Tashma, the Gemara tries to bring a raya from this braisa. It says in the braisa, b'chob is manazeh, b'chob nowadays, actually nira l'chob l'chacham, until it can't be shown to a chacham. And here we have a machlokas Rashi and Tosfos, what does that mean? Rashi says, actually nira l'chob l'chacham means that until it actually developed a mum, there's no point in showing it to the chacham. Tosfos has a different explanation. Tosfos actually nearest la'aris la'chacham means, as we're going to speak about later in our shir and later in our masechta, only certain individuals are qualified to decide if a bechor is a bar mum, and there was no chacham available. So says the brayser, v'shar l'kai m'shtayim v'shar l'shanim. You can hold on to the animal for 2-3 years. U'mishnir la'aris la'chacham. Again, we're going to learn with Rashi Pshat. But once the animal develops a mum, and we could show it to the chacham, the halacha is, if it has a mum within the first year, you can hold on to it for 12 months. After the first year, you can't hold on to it even for one day, for one moment. Because Chazal were concerned that the Balaam should not have a loss. And here too we have a Machlokes Rashi and Tosfos. How to learn the Gemara? What does it mean that B'nei HaShavas Aved L'Balaam? Rashi explains that what happened here is the Yisrael has this Bechor. This Bechor who's a Baal Mum, that he's supposed to give to a Kohen. And he doesn't have a Kohen available to give it to. And we know in those days they didn't have refrigerators and freezers where you could slaughter an animal and put it away. So the halacha is, according to this braisa, you could hold on to it for 30 more days, and if a kohen comes within those 30 days, you could give it to him. If a kohen doesn't come within those 30 days, then it's, Chazal don't allow us to wait any longer, and we have to shech the animal and do the best to be able to preserve it. That's how Rashi learns Pshat in the Gemara. The problem with Rashi's Pshat, as the Mefarshim indicate, is if the issue here is that the Yisrael has this animal, but he doesn't have a kohen to whom to give it to, why doesn't he just shech the animal, use the animal for his own, eat from that animal? Because halacha is, as we've learned, a bechor may be eaten, bechor meat may be eaten by Yisrael, and then the value of that animal, the Yisrael will give to the kohen. So some try to defend Rashi's pshat, that Torah never demanded that of a Yisrael, that isn't the extent of responsibility that the Yisrael has, that he has to eat the meat, even though he may not have any interest in eating the meat. But Tosfos has a different pshat in the Gemara. Tosfos says that what the Gemara here means is that the Bechor has been given to a Kohen. But just because the Bechor has been given to the Kohen, doesn't mean that the Kohen specifically now has an occasion where he has to eat this meat, and there could be a lot of meat involved because it's a whole animal. And moreover, as we said, the animal can't be frozen. They didn't have freezers. So that's why the Bryce is telling us, says the Gemara, according to Tosfos' explanation, that we give the kohen 30 days, that within those 30 days, if there'll be a special occasion by when he'll have to eat the animal, fine. If not, he has to eat it up by then anyway. The Marit al-Ghazi says that our Gemara is clearly an indication that the halacha that we've been discussing since the beginning of the Perek, that the Bechor has to be eaten up within the year is only midrabbanan. Because if the halacha were the midaraisa, this were the din, then Chazal, because of rules of Hashavas Aveda or other considerations that we just explained, cannot be lenient. And therefore it's a right that this entire din that we've been discussing is only midrabbanan. The Mechas Chinuch disagrees with the Marit al-Ghazi. The Mechas Chinuch says that since we know that Chazal have a right to make rules, the Sheva Taisa, when it doesn't involve actively violating a deraisa, this is a situation of Sheva Taisa, and therefore it could still be that perhaps this is a din, the din of Shon is a din deraisa. Al Ne, Shavas Aveda, again says the Gemara, Amru Shal Kaim Shloshim Yom. So the Gemara is assuming now that when the Gemara says Rishoy L'Kaima Shloshim Yoim is referring even to situation of Noila Loi Mum B'Tach Shnosoi, where the Mum developed within the first year, and the Braisa is teaching us that we could hold on to this Bechor for a year plus 30 days, and that would be the interpretation of our Mishnah. Says the Gemara, V'Dai Tiboloch. That isn't necessarily a compelling raya, because we could say that pshat is when the Mishnah says shloshim yoyim, when the Braisa just said shloshim yoyim, it's not referring to a situation where the mum developed within the first year. There the halacha will be that you only have a year and you don't have any extra days. When the Braisa said shloshim yoyim, it's referring achashnasai, that if the mum only developed after the first year, that's when the halacha is you only get 30 days. Or, still ask the Gemara Dilma, it means Kodim Shinasa. Toshima, so Gemara brings a raya from the following Braisa. It says in the Braisa, and the way Rashi explains this Braisa, and that's the way we're going to learn, that a mum developed 15 days before the year is up. Says the Braisa, the Shita has a different pshat, that the mum developed 15 days after the year began. But we're going to learn with Rashi's pshat, that the mum developed within the last 15 days of the year. We give him 15 more days into the next year. What do we see from here? Shema mina, that we only give a year. And that's why we give the person, we give him only 15 more days into the year. But the 30 days that we speak about isn't applicable here, because that is only applicable when the mum developed after the first year. Says the Gemara, Masayla Rav Elazar, this Braisa clearly corroborates what Rav Elazar said. Rav Elazar, that we only give him 30 days after the mum developed, if the mum developed after the first year. But if the mum developed within the first year, there is no extra 30 days. Ikadami, but there's a different version. Omer Belazar, Menayel B'chor Shnoyel by Mum B'tach Shnosoi, how do you know if the mum developed within the year, Shnoyel by Shloshim Yom Ach Shnosoi, that according to this version, Rav Elazar holds you get 30 days after the year is up. Shnemar, he says, we learn from the Apostle Fnei Hashem Elokecha, Elokecha Techlan Shana B'Shana, Eze Yom Mechashuv M'Shana, Have Omer Eil Shloshim Yom. He says, since we have a rule, Shloshim Yom B'Shana Chashiv Shana, 30 days in a year are considered like a year. What the Torah means to say by Shana B'Shana is we give him first a Shana, first we give him a year, and then we give him another B'Shana, we give him another 30 days. According to this explanation, Rabbi Lazar actually holds that we give him a year plus another 30 days. According to this explanation, Seir Achroinim, the din of a year actually would be a din daraisa. Ask the Gemara, how can we say that that is the halacha? May say, we just learned the braisa, but the braisa taught us, if the mum developed within 15 days of the end of the year, we only give him 15 more days. Hashlomit in, we give him the 15 days that he should have a 30 days that he could have eaten the animal. But we have a law, we don't give him an extra 30 days. To Yosef Rebbe Lazar, who according to this Ikad Amri says that we always give him, even if the Noel and Mumbatosh Nasai, an extra 30 days. So the Gemara, indeed, the Ikka D'Amri's understanding of Rabbi Elazar to Yufta has been refuted. As we said, the halacha is that a Bechor, especially Bezman Hazeh, when we don't have a car, when we can't bring it as a carbon, must develop a mum, and then it's given to the Kohen. A mum, however, can only be declared by someone who has special authorization to make such a declaration, special smicha. It's only given to individuals who are Talmidei Chachamim and also have a lot of experience with animals to be able to indeed determine that the animal has a mum kavua. As we're going to learn later in the Masechta, the only mum that's considered a mum that will make the animal, the bechor, be considered bechor ba mum is if it's a mum kavua, permanent blemish, that's the goluy, that's in a place that's visible. Discusses our Mishnah. Hashaychas bechor, here, instead of first showing the mum to the expert and then letting him tell you if it is or isn't the mum, here he did the reverse. Hashachas Bechor, somebody shechted the Bechor, and then Omaris Mumay, he showed the mum. Rabbi Yehuda Mati. Rabbi Yehuda says, if the Chacham could say that this mum was a mum kavua before the animal was slaughtered, it's fine. The Mei Omer, however, Nishkat Shleiah Pamimcha, since it was done inappropriately, awesome. And we're going to, in Mitzvah Shem and the Gemara in a moment, the Gemara is going to try to understand the opinion of Rameya better, but just to keep in mind, there's a fundamental question in the Rishonim when Rameya takes this stringent approach. Is it because of Gezeira, because he made it a decree, or is it because of Knas, because it's a punishment? The Nafkamina, two immediate nafkaminas are because the halacha throughout Shas is that we agree with Rameya Gzeroysov when he made a Gzeira, but not when he made a Knas. So if this is a Gzeira of Rameya, the halacha will be Rameya. If it's Knas, it won't be. Furthermore, if it's a Gzeira, it makes no difference who is the one that slaughtered the animal. If it's a Knas, then the Knas will only be on the person who did the wrong thing. But let's say someone else shechted my animal, it wasn't at my request, then I am not deserving of a punishment. Continues the Mishnah. Mi she'en a mumcha, if someone's not a mumcha of Raya Sabachar, and he slaughtered a Bachar, v'nishchar apiv, and it was slaughtered based on his say-so, and he, as we just said, had really no right to paskin this, harezi yikover, the animal should be buried, Yishama based on he's responsible to pay. Says the Gemara, Omar Rabba Bavachana, Bedukin Shva'ayin, when we speak about cataracts, the Kulam Lepligadasar, there's no machlok for Meir of Yehuda. Because, says the Gemara, Neshe Mishtani, cataracts certainly change because of death, and therefore Yehuda cannot in any way say that if the Chacham examined the cataract after the death of the Bechor, he'll be able to tell if it was there before. Lo nachaku, when is there a machlokes between Rameya and Rabbi Yehuda? El mamum shebegof, a different one. The Rameya sofer, Rameya's opinion is gazrinen mamum shebegof. Even though these are mumim that don't change after death, and therefore if the Chacham sees that this mum is here after death, presumably he was there before death as well. Because Ramey says we make exer auto dukish ba'ayin. So from here it seems that it's considered a gzeira. And if it's a gzeira, it would apply no matter who shechted it. And if it's a gzeira, we follow Ramey's opinion. Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is loy gazurim mum shabagof auto dukish ba'ayin. By dukish ba'ayin, as we just said, Rabbi Yehuda will agree with Ramey that post death examination is not very helpful. But on the other mum, Rabbi Yehuda says a post-death examination is fine, and therefore we could rely on it. Tanya Mihochi, and indeed so was taught in the Braisa. Hashaychas Bechor Umaris Mumuf, if the mum was only examined after the death, after the Shechita of the Bechor. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, B'dukish Ba'ayin, if it's a cataract, there Osir Neshe Mishtamim, because cataracts do change after death. But mum to the guf, where we talk about all other blemishes, mutter, mesh emishtani, that they don't change after death. Remei Omer, Remei on the other hand holds Echazev Echazev Osur. It makes no difference what is the mum, because Echazev Echazev Osur Neshe Mishtan. Ask the Gemara. This is very difficult wording to understand. Neshe Heimishtanim Sakadatach. Does Rav Meir indeed hold that all mumin change after death? Answers the Gemara. Mumin, is that true? Mumin shiva guf and mishtanim. Do mumin in the guf change after death? So the Gemara, the way to understand Rav Meir is with nei mishtanim. Chazal made a gzera on the mumin that don't change the mumin in the body because of the cataract. Amar Rav Nachman ben Yitzchak, says Rav Nachman ben Yitzchak, masnisa nami deka. Actually, this pshat very much fits into what we learned in the Mishnah as well. Because we learned in the Mishnah, Remeya Omer, Hoyev Nishkut Shloipa Mimcha. Why are we being strict? Because the person shechted the animal without first getting a heter from a Mimcha. Shmamino. So we see, it's not because they necessarily changed. It could be Remeya is very much in agreement that nothing happens afterwards. Just Knosa Kakonis Remeya. Remeya punished him for shechting it without checking first. Shmamina. So we see that that's the way to understand the Mishnah. Here, we have a raya. Here, the wording of the Gemara seems to indicate that Ramei considers it a knas, not a gzera. And that's, as I said, is the basis for the dilemma the Rishonim have. Is this a knas of Ramei or a gzera of Ramei? The Gemara focuses now on the wording of the Braisa. The Braisa said that we don't rely, according to a mayor, on a post-mortem examination, Neyim Shtanim, because of the Dukin Sheba'ayin that change after death. Ask the Gemara. When we say that Dukin Sheba'ayin change after death, the cataracts change after death, how is that to be understood? Does it mean Kulam Mishtani, that all cataracts change after death? Or Dilma Ikad Mishtani, Ikad Loi Mishtani? Does it mean that it has to be that way? It could be that way, but it's not necessarily must be that way. Ask the Maralamayim after a minute, why do we have to know if all cataracts change or some cataracts change? It wouldn't change the halacha, that everybody will agree that since some cataract change, that's a raya, that since some cataracts change, that a post-death examination is useless. Answer the Gemara, the reason we need to know the answer to this question is for a different purpose. L'chushi sadi. That means, where a Bechor was slaughtered without the declaration of a Mumcha, and after the examination, we see the cataract, and the witnesses say that nothing changed with this cataract from before death till after death. If we're going to say that all cataracts change after death, Shakrinani, these Edom who are saying that nothing happened are obviously liars, and therefore become disqualified to say any Edus. However, v'yamet, if we're going to say ikad mishtani, v'ikad lo mishtani, sometimes they change and sometimes they don't change. Samchin alayu, we don't have any reason. These Edom are not necessarily declared as liars, mai, and will therefore be disqualified from saying any Edus in any time. Mai, what is the halacha? Toshma, Dora Rabbakana, Sokli Rab Oishida Menusha, Bar Rech Dukun Shabayin, Shem Shtanim. I'm going to show you a situation where the cataract changed. Says the Gemara, Bod Nidakamalay, Bava Erech, since he said, I'm going to show you, so he's trying to show him, here is a situation where it happened. What does that seem to prove? McLeod, the Ikad Mishtani, Ikad Loy Mishtani. It doesn't always happen, and this was something unique. And that's why he wanted to show it to him. And that's why it's a raya that they don't have to change. They just sometimes change. So we learned at the end of the Mishnah. Mishayin a mumcha. If somebody's not a mumcha, v'ra'as a b'chor, and he paskin a b'chor, and he had no right, as we said, v'nishcha v'piv, and then the b'chor was slaughtered based on his p'sak, which, so the halacha is a raise a cover, the b'chor should be buried. He's shalom based on he's held responsible to pay for the loss. So, suggest the Gemara, Lema Tanan, Stamak Rameya. Because our Mishnah seems to be passing that if a Pesach was issued on a Bechor, that you shouldn't have paskin, that that the person had no right to paskin, the animal can never be eaten. Isn't that Ramey's opinion? And so the Gemara, there is, and so therefore we'll have a Stam Mishnah that corroborates the opinion of Ramey, because this second part of our Mishnah is a Stam Mishnah. Says the Gemara, no. Because maybe the mum that's being referred to in our Mishnah is Dukin Shva'ayim, which is a cataract, which we just finished explaining. Devarei Hakol, even Rabbi Yehuda agrees that cataracts change after death, and therefore the fact that the cataract, the fact that he paskin doesn't help him. Tom. So the Brisa said that if a non-expert paskin, he's held responsible for this animal that's not going to be buried. Says the Mark Shem Shalom, when he pays, how much does he pay? Mishalom reveal a daka, he pays a quarter of the value if it's a behemoth daka, or mechza lagasa, and he pays a mechza if it's a behemoth gasa. So the way Rashi explains mechza lagasa is because we have a rule that mom and amut b'sof, we have here a question, would this b'chor have survived and become balmum, and therefore it represents a loss to the kohen, or maybe the b'chor would have died, and the kohen would have never had anything from it. So mom and amut b'sof cholkin. Taisa disagrees. The Taisa says that mom and amut b'sof cholkin is actually the opinion of Rav of Sumchus, who we don't normally follow his opinion, and therefore Taisus explains that this was a Gzeiris Chazal, that in such a situation you pay half. Ask the Gemara, my Tama, why is the rule by Behema Daka different than the rule by Behema Gasa? Omer Papa, Zehef some Ruben, Zehef some more. And that Behema Gasa is much more valuable than a Behema Daka. Ask the Gemara, Ihochi, Lefum Seg, Leshaleh. Fine, a behemoth gasa is more valuable than a behemoth daka. But we're giving 50%. So 50% of something more valuable is going to be more than 50% of something less valuable. But why are we changing the number, that here the number is 50% and here the number is 25%? Says the Gemara, Amar Abhuna bar Manoach Mishmeid of Acha bar Rika, Mishum Zeus Megabi behemoth daka of Nogaba. There's a different explanation. So Rashi gives two pshatim. The first pshat Rashi says is that if we would give the kohen the behemah daka, he would have a lot of expense, a lot of tircha with it, because as we've discussed previously, raising a behemah daka is quite a tircha. So therefore, when the animal now was killed and the kohen got nothing, it isn't that much of a loss to him. And that's why he only receives 25%. Whereas by Behema Gasa, there isn't that much tircha involved in raising a Behema Gasa, and therefore, the number is 50%. Another pshat, however, Rashi says, is that the Gemara Masechet Babakama teaches us that Eim Gadlin Behema Daka Be'etz Yisrael, the one is not supposed to raise a Behema Daka Be'etz Yisrael. So therefore, because this animal was brought up, was raised in Eretz Yisrael, which should not have happened, that's why we give it only 25%. Of course, the problem with this pshat is that who's the one that's suffering here? The one that's suffering here is the kohen. The kohen isn't the one that raised this behemah daka that violated the Gemara Masechet Bavakama. It was the person who raised the animal that violated that Gemara. Why is the kohen being penalized for somebody else's aveira? Says the Mishnah. So since we've spoken about people paskening shayles, getting involved in situations which they should have not have gotten involved. So the Mishnah continues, Donas Adin, if somebody paskened a din Torah about financial issues, Zikas as Chayiv, the Chayiv is a Zakai, and he paskened incorrectly, the person who's guilty he made innocent or vice versa, or Timei is a Torah, it says something that's supposed to be Torah is Tamei, or Tir as a Tameh, he said something which is Tameh, is Tar. The halacha is Masha Osui Osui. What he has done is considered a valid psak. The din doesn't go back. However, Bisham Mebesoi, he has to make restitution for what he's done. Mimhoyev Mumchel Bezdin. However, if he's a Mumchel Bezdin, then the halacha is Potel Shalom, he's parted from pain. So the Mefarshim raise a number of issues in understanding of our Mishnah. First of all, we have a rule throughout Shas that Hezek Shein Nikol Shmei Hezek, that a non-noticeable Hezek is not considered a Hezek. So most of the cases here are Hezek Shein Nikol. So why is he obligated? So one explanation is that when do we say that Hezek Shein Nikol Lo Shmei Hezek? That's only Bishoydi. But B'mezid, Hezek Shein Nikol Shmei Hezek. A chacham issuing a wrong psak is considered a mezid. Another explanation I saw is that the reason Chazal were lenient is by Shoydi is because Chazal were concerned that if, let's say, I made somebody else's Teirus Tameh, and if I'm going to be held responsible, I'm not going to want to disclose that these Teirus are Tameh. So that's why Chazal said, Hezek Shein Nikol Lo Shmei Hezek, and I won't have any problem notifying the person. However, here we're talking about a chacham, and even though he should have perhaps not have issued this psak, we need not be concerned, say to Mefarshim, that this person won't disclose the reality, even if it's going to end up costing him money, and therefore the halacha is that he has, it's not considered under the category of Hezek Shein Nikol. Furthermore, the Mishnah at the end said, if somebody's a mumcha, he's part of l'shalom. And the Mefarshim discuss why is that the halacha. Rashi says that since the Rav who passed in here was a mumcha, and he made an incorrect psak, it must be because it's just the bad mazel of the person who he passed in for. Another explanation that I saw is that this is under the category of an oinus. It's just an oinus that I passed, that this mumcha passed in wrong. Another pshat that the Tzai suggests, that since this individual is a mumcha l'rabim, the halacha is that a mumcha l'rabim is an individual that both sides accepted upon themselves that they're going to follow his psak. And since both sides accepted they're going to follow his psak, therefore the halacha is that we follow his psak even if it's incorrect and he's not held responsible. Says the Gemara, shouldn't our Mishnah be a raya that we follow the opinion of Rameya? The Don Dina de Garmi. Garmi, according to Ramban, actually, there's no difference between Garmi and Grama. Most Rishonim, however, of the opinion that there is a difference between Garmi and Grama, because Grama is something that is further removed, that I caused the damage, whereas Garmi, it's much closer. How to understand that is that by Garmi, the effect of what I've done can come immediately. Grama, there is some sort of a time lag between what I've done and there could be a time lag between what I've done and the effects of what I've done. By Garmi, the Rosh explains what I will do, the bad effect of my psak is certain to come. By Grama, it's not certain to come. So in our Mishnah, even though he passed it incorrectly, we don't know for sure that his incorrect psak will be followed up on. Yet our Gemara says that he's considered chayiv, even though it's just a Garmi. Amar v'loy, Amar Rav, our Mishnah speaking about shenosim v'nosim b'yad, where he took the money and took it from the wrong party and gave it to the wrong party. Says the Gemara, Bishlam chayiv zakai. So the case where the person wasn't supposed to receive the money and he received it, we just explained, is in a case of Kishgon Shinosim Nosim Biyad. El Zika Sechayiv Hechi Domi. Domi Le Pata Ata. Because he just said that you're not obligated to pay. Ask the Gemara, but that is a Nosim Nosim Biyad. So isn't that a case of Gami? Omer Avinu Kishgon Shoyal Mashkin. We're referring to a situation where the Malva had a Mashkin, and now he said that from the Loiva, and now the Rav passed it incorrectly and took by himself the Mashkin from the Malva incorrectly and gave it back to the Loiva. Timei Satoritz, tar, again, since we explained that he actually actively did something, so in the case of Timei Sator, Dog B'Sheret, that he actually said something is Tamei, and since he said it's Tamei, he put a Sheretz next to it. And then it turned out that he did the wrong thing, and that item now is indeed Tamei when it shouldn't have been. Tears of Tamei, Shimmer Man Paraisov, he went and he mixed this food with the other fruits, which were Tahar, and now all of them are Tamei because he mixed them together. There was a situation where a cow womb was removed, the chiller of a bechor, the chiller of a tarfon of klavim, and he said that a bechor, the cow's womb was missing, and a tarfon said that it's treif and can be given to dogs. Obamas lefnei chacham b'yavna b'tirua, and this question came to the chachamim, and they said it's mutter. Sha'omer tudas haroifi, because tudas the doctor would say. Ain par b'chazir yotzim otzanu shel Mitzrayim. There were no cows or pigs leaving Mitzrayim. That they didn't remove the womb. They had very high quality animals. And they were afraid that people would buy those animals and take them to other places. They would breed from those animals and their business would collapse. So they would remove the womb. Omar Ratarfin, when Ratarfin heard this, he said, Holcha Chamor Ratarfin, you've lost your donkey. Omar, because now you're going to have to pay for your incorrect psak. Omler Rekiva, so Rekiva said, Rav Tarfin Atam Mumcha Lebezdin, Rekala Mumcha Lebezdin, Patam L'Sham. So there are many issues to discuss in learning this Mishnah. One question that came up is that the Mishnah says, Holcha Chamor Chatarfin, that Tarfin lost his donkey. We know that Rav Tarfin was a very wealthy man, and he didn't have to sell his donkey to pay for this loss that he caused. What does it say? Holcha Chamor Chatarfin. So, one pshat is that he meant it only in jest. Of course, he had the money. Another pshat is that he was trying to teach the Talmidim a halacha lemaisa. He was trying to teach the Talmidim a halacha lemaisa that if I only had one donkey, I would have to use that donkey to pay for the loss that I caused. And that, or they would even take that donkey forcibly away from me to pay for that loss. But then I saw another pshat. The other pshat is that we know that who is the paradigm of a dayan? Moshe Rabbeinu. And what does the pasuk say that Moshe Rabbeinu said? Loi chamor echad mehem nososi. That's how Moshe Rabbeinu describes himself. Says the Pnei Menachem that Rav Tarfin was saying about himself, Holcha Chamor Chatarfin, I, who have now issued this incorrect psak, am no longer in the category of Moshe Rabbeinu. The Farshim asks, if we see in our Gemara that the pigs of Mitzrayim were such great animals, why by Mekas Dever does the Pasuk say that not with the pigs? So one pshat that I saw is that since the Gemara says that the stomachs of pigs are very similar to the stomachs of human beings, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu specifically wanted that the animals should be punished, not the people. That's why the pigs weren't punished. Another pshat that I saw is because by the Makkos, Hashem wanted to differentiate between Klal Yisrael and the Mitzrim. That nothing happened to our animals, but the Devar hit the animals of the Mitzrim. But Jews aren't allowed to raise pigs, and therefore there would be no point in bringing a Devar to the pigs. You wouldn't be able to tell the difference through that between Klal Yisrael and the Mitzrim. Mefarshim asked that Rav Tarfin lived in the time before there was a Mishnah. And how did the Gemara consider it a Tar B'Dvar Mishnah, as we're going to see? So Mefarshim answered that even though there were no Mishnayis formally compiled, there were still Mishnayis formally compiled by Rebbe, there were still Mishnayis. Another pshat that I saw is that although there were no Mishnayis, Reb Tarfin relied on what Tudus HaRoifa said, and that is in the category of a Tavit VaMishnah. Mefarshim actually asked, why does Reb Tarfin have to rely on Tudus HaRoifa? The Mishnah already says in Masechta Chulin, we learned the Mishnah that says that if a womb is removed, the animal is in treif. So why did Reb Tarfin have to hear from Tudus HaRoifa? So Mefarshim answered, we learned in Masechta Chulin many times that there's a difference between where an entire organ is missing versus where part of the organ is missing. And it could be that if the entire organ is missing, the animal is not treif, but if part of the organ is missing, the animal is treif. Tudus taught us that not only if the entire womb is missing, but even if part of the womb is missing, the animal is not treif. Furthermore, from here the Parshim want to bring a raya that we could rely on a non-Jewish doctor, because Tudus wasn't a Jewish doctor, and yet we relied on his expertise. Mefarshim want to differentiate between when a doctor is speaking about a specific patient versus when he's saying a medical fact. It could be we rely on a roifei akum, as our Mishnah does, to say a medical fact versus an evaluation of a specific patient. Ask the Gemara, as we just said, the technically the Talmud Dvar Mishnah. This is a Dvar Mishnah. As we just said, a missing womb that the animal is not treif is a Dvar Mishnah. And we know that the halacha is the Talmud Dvar Mishnah. The halacha is that if somebody makes such a mistake, Chayzer, answers the Gemara. So why isn't that what the Reb Akiva said to Reb Tarfin? You could reverse your psak because of Talmud Dvar Mishnah. Answers the Gemara, actually that's what he said. Chada va'oy kama. Chada, the Talmud Dvar Mishnah Chayzer. When you make a mistake with a Dvar Mishnah, you can always reverse your psak. Boy, inam b'shikol das tisa. The definition of shikol das is when we have a machlokes tanoim and there is no clear indication who the halacha is follows. You are mumch lebezin ata, and as we explained, kol mumch lebezin patam l'shalim doesn't have to reimburse even if he issued an incorrect psak.